What's up, my friend? It is ADHD Coach Catherine, and we are here, back in the universe of possibility, to explore how you, yes you, can use the power of celebration and self-talk to change how you feel about yourself, your brain, and the world around you. In previous episodes, I've explained how you can integrate understanding your executive functions, leveraging things like self-compassion practice and mindfulness, bringing that together with a strengths-based approach can create really powerful and unique tools for you to live the best life you can with ADHD. I've explained how understanding all of those elements and bringing them together can actually improve our executive functions, and especially emotional regulation, which is the hot button that controls all of your other executive functions. And we're going to move into the next phase, which is what we're talking about today. So today we're going to look at a topic that everyone, every human in the world resonates with, but it's especially important if you have a busy brain or ADHD and you want to work out how you can navigate the world more easily. And this is one that is going to surprise many of you. It's the combination of acknowledging your work, learning to celebrate successes, how engaging in things in a force-free way can align with your strengths and your interests and make it fun, as well as the really crucial one, how you talk to yourself, self-talk, and the impact that self-talk has on our productivity and our mood. And I don't mean productivity in a productive, get everything done and that kind of bro marketing type of thing. I'm talking about just being able to do stuff that you want to do. But why focus on these things when ADHD is all about medication or your diet or your exercise? Because those are important building blocks. But this stuff, this is the thing that's going to change how you go forward long term. And that's because how we talk to ourselves, how we acknowledge our work, how we celebrate can impact not just us and our health, our well-being and our future, but everyone around us. And I think everyone can acknowledge that after the last 4 or 5 years, we really need to all feel better and have a better approach, a better mood, and support other people without draining ourselves. If you have a neurodivergent brain, especially ADHD or autism, you need to learn how to manage that, because your energy is directly affected by the people around you. And if your energy improves, if your mood improves, if your self-regulation improves, you're going to change the lives of everyone around you. And that's going to come back in a really good way. This really matters if you want to thrive in your personal and your professional life. So let's start with this idea of celebration. And it's something that a lot of clients find difficult to begin with, because I always start a conversation with what's gone well this week. And a lot of coaches will start with, tell me about your wins this week. And depending on the person you're working with, that is too big of a gap between where they are and feeling like they have any wins at all. Quite often, we can find them during the course of the conversation. But to start with, celebrating a small win could feel too big. So why bother? Celebrating wins almost feels offensive to lots of Scottish people, I would say, of a certain generation. You don't want to blow your horn. You're taught that you mustn't brag. You must be appropriately humble and self-deprecating, but you can't possibly say, hey, I did really well at this week, because that might just sound like you're a little bit overconfident or big-headed. And apart from being lazy, being big-headed and overconfident is the other worst thing that you can be. I think I was in my 40s, probably even early 50s, before I actually felt comfortable acknowledging when I had done something well. Why is that so important, though? Think about what's going on in your brain when somebody says, well done, that was terrific work. I love how you do that. My goodness, that's just perfect. I really needed that. All the nice things that people have said to you that you felt awkward about acknowledging, but if you were open enough to hear them, how did that make you feel? Felt pretty good, and it made you want to do it again, I'm guessing. Welcome to Neurotransmitter City. So when we hear a positive, reinforcing, accepting, uplifting, warm comment, our neurotransmitters are awash with great things. Oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, the things that allow you to keep going even if things are challenging, because your brain said, hey, I did that and I got really good feedback. I felt good. I'm going to give you some dopamine so you can keep going. Your motivation continues because you have that wonderful neurotransmitter that says, keep going, this is a positive thing. And the thing that many people with ADHD struggle with is completing our long-term goals. They seem like a very long way away. And although as we get older, that distance may shrink a little bit, when you're younger, it can be almost impossible to imagine 6 months to a year, never mind 20 years. And one of the ways that we can help ourselves and other people to think about long-term goals more positively is to reinforce the milestones or the steps there with acceptance, acknowledgement, and positive feedback, building them up in steps. And that's because this reinforces the behavior we want to see repeated. I have two rescue dogs. I'm doing a bit of dog training with them. I know about negative reinforcement. If I accidentally reinforce something with my dog, it takes me much longer to undo it because they've made that connection. Similarly, with ADHD, we hear a lot of negative feedback and our brains are very good at hanging on to that because it doesn't want us to get hurt. They want to protect us. Your brain's job is to keep you alive for as long as possible and it doesn't really care about how bad you feel while it's doing that. So if we can find a way to reinforce behavior or actions positively, we're going to need to do it more often. We're going to need to do it regularly. And then the neural nets that connect our behaviors with our long-term goals are going to get stronger. You've probably heard cells that fire together wire together. That's not strictly true, but we can help to create networks, these neural nets of neurons that work together more efficiently and quickly. And a great way to do that is this positive reinforcement. And it doesn't just help you stay motivated, it helps you to recognize what you can do. A few episodes ago, I mentioned that self-efficacy, believing how capable we are, is a really important problem for many people with ADHD. We forget things. We do half a job, then we get distracted. We might not begin. We might look at other people doing things with ease and think, why can't I do it like that? Why is it so hard? And over time, you end up with this picture of a person who is not very capable. But you are. You're just not recognizing it because you're focusing on a big picture far away rather than all the little steps. And the little steps are the things that actually get you there. So before I offer three ways that you can reinforce this for yourself, I want to talk about three levels. And this is something that a lot of people don't recognize. It is impossible for me to accept praise from some people for things where all I can see are the parts that I didn't achieve. And at 52, I'm still a work in progress. I'm working on that. But what I can do is I can acknowledge I showed up. If you can't accept praise, can you acknowledge that you showed up? Can you acknowledge you turned in the paper? You sent off the invoice? You showed up for your session? You got out of the house and got the groceries? Can you accept that you did something? Acknowledgement. That's step number one. Step number two is approval. Can you accept that you showed up and did well? You're not saying you're the best person ever to do such a thing, but you showed up and you did okay. You did well. So we're getting closer to a celebration. And acceptance and approval are sometimes enough for lots of people to work on until they become a habit. And the final step, of course, is celebration. Celebration needs to be specific. It needs to be appropriate to the person and the context. You can just say, good job, but actually what's much more powerful is to recognize the unique quality of who you are, what you've done, and why it's worthy of celebration. Once you've been able to accept and acknowledge that you've done something, maybe add some approval in, add in very specific, personalized approval and celebration. Not only did you show up for your session today, but the thing you said you were going to do last time, you didn't do it every single day, but you kept going. And it is incredible to see the difference, to hear the difference and how you showed up because you had taken the time to follow through on that commitment, and it's got you so much further along to where you want to go. Can you do that for yourself? It takes practice, And there will be days where it may not come easily to you, but it is 100% worth it because of the physical changes it can make in your brain. When your brain changes, your mood changes. And when your mood changes, your motivation, your efficacy, your ability to get things done changes, which is why I am so passionate about stress reduction, mental well-being, mindfulness, and all these other elements working together. How can we do this? How can we build this acknowledgement, approval, and celebration in? First of all, for me, obviously, I'm a visual person, so a visual tracker. This could be what I use, 3 dots at the end of the day. What did I do today? Am I celebrating it? Am I acknowledging it? Some days it's just an acknowledgement. But hey, I put the laundry away. I completed the slides for my next seminar. I did another certification. So you can use a notebook. You could use a whiteboard. If you want to track a streak of things, a whiteboard can be really useful. You could use an app. It doesn't matter what tool you use. There's no one better than the other. The best tool is the one that you enjoy using. You might want to schedule in a reflection once a day or once at the end of the week. Take some time just to look back and think about what you've done this week. Acknowledge it. Think approvingly of it. And if possible, celebrate what you've done this week. But you need to make time for that. And 2 minutes at the end of the day is, for me, much easier than 15 minutes at the end of the week. It's definitely one of the benefits I found with working with a coach is actually having permission to celebrate for a good 5 to 10 minutes sometimes. But you can do this with a friend, with one of your peers, with a mentor. You don't need to be a coach. But just giving yourself that space to acknowledge and celebrate is really important. And the third method you could think of is rewards. Now, rewards get a really bad name, but they don't have to be expensive. They don't have to be big. It could be, I'm going to read 5 pages of my favorite new novel. If I walk 10,000 steps today, I get to watch 15 minutes of whatever series I'm enjoying on TV. They don't have to be big. They don't have to take a lot of time or money, but giving yourself that reward and reaching it for things that you are close to achieving every day is a great way to improve your motivation. And when we make a habit of celebrating these small wins, we create this wonderful positive feedback loop, because the more dopamine and oxytocin and reward we get for taking that action, the more we want to do it. And so it continues. And you'll be able to keep going even if things get a bit tough, because your brain has changed the neural net connected with that behavior. The second thing I wanted to look at today was the idea of force-free productivity. Productivity routines and habits have got a really bad name at the moment because people think of them as something that's being imposed, and there's a lot of demand avoidance or demand for autonomy, depending on which way you're coming at it from, within the ADHD community. It's something that I've experienced, something I've parented, so I know it's real, and I know that anytime we try to impose something on ourselves, there is a good chance we will push back. So one of the ways that you can get around this, and remember this is in line with your goals, your values, and your strengths. We're not taking on some alien set of concepts here, is to think about using your intrinsic interest. That is something that you're motivated to do yourself, along with your strengths and your values, and bring them together to create an invitation rather than a demand when you want to do something. This is about making work feel like a choice or a calling rather than a chore. I've been reading about organizational psychology, that is the psychology of organizations rather than tidying up. When we're able to do work that engages with our internal interests, our inner motivations, and our personal strengths, job satisfaction goes really through the roof. And our stress levels decrease a lot. Not only are you happier at work, but you're less stressed. And the way to do that is to make work feel less like a chore, more like a choice. I don't want to spend too long on this, but I do want you to take the VIA character strengths assessment and think about how can you bring your top 5 strengths into work today? Where are you struggling in work? And which one of your strengths gives you the ideal tool to tackle that? If you're having to deal with lots of tasks that are draining you, have a conversation with the people you work with, or if you work for yourself, have a conversation with your business bestie, the person that gets you. Can you delegate them? Can you automate them? So much can be automated. And if it really doesn't align with any of your strengths or interests, is it even essential? And finally, get yourself a wonderful feedback loop. Now, a feedback loop can be colleagues or a supervisor, a boss, if you work in a company that's big enough. But you might also find a business community where other people are really happy to cheer you on and give you feedback. You might need to look for a mentor if you're self-employed, but getting a positive feedback loop brings us back to the celebration that I talked about before. The important thing is that you're choosing to do this work. And if it's not work that you feel you have a choice in, bring that strength in, bring in your vision, your values. Are you doing it because you want to have a greater life for your family, because it aligns with your social vision? Think about it in the big picture and then see how heavy it feels. I always feel like tasks we don't want to do weigh us down, but if we use our strengths and our values, somehow they don't feel so heavy to carry. And finally today, I wanted to talk about self-talk. Self-talk is probably the most important topic out of all three here, because it's the one that we have most control over. There is so much research that shows people with positive self-talk are more able to regulate their emotions, they have better mental health, and they have lower levels of distress than people who talk negatively to themselves or have very negative messages that they repeat often to themselves. And this is especially important if you have ADHD because of the way that our brains can get fixated on things really quickly. Barbara Luther, who's one of the wonderful coaches at ADCA who teaches and has taught hundreds of ADHD coaches now, always says bad is stickier than good. And that's why we need to really push the positive and push the good, because the bad will cling on for as long as it can. It's a survival mechanism. It's not a fault or a flaw, but it is something we need to be aware of. If you're struggling with this, make sure that you have an assessment. It's not depression or anxiety. If it is, you need medical support. But if it is just a habit of self-talk that frames the world and yourself in a way where everything is terrible and everything feels awful and you're useless and, oh, of course that would happen to me. If you're catching these negative loops of self-talk, notice what happens to your mood when you do them. Notice the impact on your energy, on how motivated you are. Because what's happening is your brain is flicking the motivation kill switch, the habenula. You remember I mentioned it before in focus. Negative messages, negative feedback flicks that switch and the dopamine supply is turned off. And then we feel terrible because we don't have it. Your brain is feeling the absence, and that's because of the negative messages, the negative self-talk. And given the feedback that many of us get because of our forgetfulness, our disorganization, our planning, etc., etc., it's really easy to see why we are stuck in this negative loop. What can you do about it? Obviously, first of all, just become really aware of how you talk to yourself and how other people talk. Are your friends and family relentlessly downbeat? And if they are, is there a reason, or is it just how they see things? If you are experiencing a few challenges, are you falling into a negative pattern of how you view things? Catch yourself first. Second step, obviously, is to challenge that and then replace it. And here, again, you might want to use a neutral response rather than a positive one, because a positive reframe might feel completely alien to you. But can we think about it neutrally to begin with? And the way to do that is this really true? Is it really true that this particular event is typical for me because my life is terrible? Or is it just bad luck because I was in the wrong time or the wrong place? Is it true? Challenge it and then reframe it with something neutral. Or when you get used to that, more positive if you can. And then finally, think about some affirmations that you can use throughout the day. I love Ben Zander and the work that he did with his late wife Roz on the art of possibility. Some of the rules in the art of possibility are things that I have taken on as my own personal affirmations. How fascinating is one of them, which I roll out with regularity. Rule 6, don't take yourself so seriously. And I especially like, my job is to stand in the universe of possibility, set the context, and let life unfold. And that feels so much less negative. It's not entirely positive because I'm allowing for things to vary from day to day, but you may have other affirmations that you want to bring in about yourself. I am enough is a really good one. But if that feels like too much, have a look at the loving kindness ones that are used in the loving kindness self-compassion meditation. May I be safe. May I be loved. May I accept myself exactly as I am. These are really good affirmations, and they may be easier to acknowledge and to accept than really powerful, positive ones. And self-talk, when it's done positively, can change how resilient we are, as well as your sense of well-being and competence in the world. It's really important to start catching yourself as the first step. The real transformation happens when we bring all of those things together. The combination of self-talk, of force-free work that's in line with your values and your strengths, and especially celebration, all of those together can be incredibly powerful for changing how you feel about yourself and the world and your place in the universe. It suddenly becomes a life that is not just manageable, but fulfilling and meaningful. So celebrating small wins regularly reinforces our motivation. When we work in a force-free way, where we're making a choice that aligns with our values and our strengths, we reduce the burnout, reduce the stress, and the positive self-talk helps us to manage the setbacks that everybody experiences every day and improves our overall mental health and well-being. So altogether, your general well-being and productivity in the best sense, ability to do what you choose, are enhanced by combining all three of them. It's the three-legged stool again. I have a client who really used to struggle with procrastination and was incredibly talented. I know I say that about all of them, but what can I tell you? They all are. And by using positive self-talk, starting with acknowledgement and building up to celebration, she was able to really change how she engaged with work. Instead of anticipating her brain giving her a hard time for not doing things, she knew that she would be able to reframe and challenge that. And so it became easier to start tasks and the procrastination improved. And as the procrastination improved, her self-image and self-efficacy improved. And so we ended up in this wonderful feedback loop. And it's not just that her life and her work became easier and she was more productive. Life felt more meaningful and more satisfying and fulfilling in a really deep way. All of these strategies are things that I've included in my ADHD Rising framework. And it's really important that we don't just focus on productivity hacks or time management. Those are important, but if you're still talking badly to yourself while you're trying to set up your wonderful planner, is it any wonder that it hasn't worked yet? So all of these strategies are things that are ongoing for me and for everybody else. I would encourage you to try each of the strategies, but start small. Begin with acceptance. Begin with catching the self-talk. Begin with recognizing your strengths, doing the VIA character assessment. And although you will want to jump far ahead, and please do, feel completely okay with just doing those three things. Maybe you can discover one affirmation that allows you to challenge a negative comment that you repeat to yourself about yourself very often. I would love to hear from you. I don't know if you want to share what you're doing on social media. You can tag me or the podcast and let other people know about these strategies so that they can include them and everybody can begin to feel better. And remember, you can always get in touch with me through the podcast show notes. There's an email contact address in there or my website. So until next week, it's been so fantastic to share these tools with you today, and I look forward to seeing you again in a week. Until then, take care.